Okay, and back hour number three with Harry, who's doing very well tonight considering he has a little bit of a cold. Sound great. Lots to talk about this hour. What do we need to clean up? We've got the Eden Hotel Annex photos up there now. We've got Eva Braun's photo album found in her nightstand in the bunker after Bormann had them drugged, Hitler and Eva, and taken out. The story where these pictures originally showed up suggests several different death dates for Hitler, one as late as 1984. I don't know if you've seen all that or not.
Yeah, 1984, where he was living with a black lady in Brazil. Whoever drummed up that story.
Well, that got his arm around her and all that, yeah.
Mustache. I mean, whoever came up with that thing, like I say.
What about the picture of the old, what appears to be an old Hitler with no mustache, laying on his back with one eye covered with that...
kerchief?
Yeah, over his eye, laying in the sun.
I don't know. That's theory. A little...
tough call. But yeah, it's intriguing to look at. You don't know. Here's what the text says. The text... And then I'll start here. It is well documented that Nazi dictator Hitler shot himself in the head April 30th, 1945. Meanwhile, his wife Eva Braun took a lethal cyanide pill. In accordance with Hitler's orders, both blah, blah, blah. Let me move down, get to where I'm trying to go here. In the, quote, questionable pictures on this page, Hitler can be seen at a dinner table with Walter and Ida Eichhorn, owners of the Eden Hotel in La Plata, Argentina. According to conspiracy theorists, outlandish claims that the authoritarian leader evaded death and fled to South America after the global war have been going on for years. In his book, Hitler in Exile, historian Abel Basti, your sometime friend, is one such truth seeker to have made these claims. We think these photos from the Eden Hotel Annex may have come from Basti. Is that not correct?
Yeah. Basti is, in my opinion, the best researcher in Argentina on this particular topic. Unfortunately, it appears he's gotten a little headline hungry, and he's finding that Hitler lived in fill in the blank any little town in any country in South America. He's gotten a little over the edge, in my opinion, but.
Well, he's done a lot of good work, so you always honor that.
Work, yeah. And I met him in 2008. I was a guest in his home for coffee and cake, and then that evening I took him and his assistant Nahuel to dinner at a very nice place where the owner of the hotel, no, the restaurant, I'm sorry, it was a German style restaurant, German food, German building, and I got along fine with the owner in German, and he was playing his accordion, and he had an old friend also playing an accordion, also a German.
Old guy.
They were playing nice songs, and I went and asked him if he could play the Matrosenlied, the song the sailors always sang as they were leaving port. And he started right up. He sang that and then went right into the Panzerlied, the song of the armored divisions. And he got done, and I waved at him, thank you. And he kind of stood up and clicked his heels and put his right arm up.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. How old the man?
Oh, I'm guessing he was probably in his middle to late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably was not in the military at that time, unless maybe being in the Hitler Youth in the Volksdeutsche.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. The story here, a couple more sentences. Basti, B-A-S-T-I, Basti believes Hitler escaped the bunker through a tunnel which led to Tempelhof Airport, where he boarded a plane to Spain. Highly unlikely. The tunnel part, possible. It supposedly was a subway tunnel, which is still there today, that they may have been taken through by Borman out to Lake Wannsee, where they got the seaplane, which that makes more sense. Tempelhof was, talk about a target.
Yeah.
The last place you'd want to go would be Tempelhof.
Right. So we haven't proven that he went out on that Blumenvoss BV-138, but it seems likely it landed on the lake
there are witnesses.
Under heavy ground fire.
Yeah.
Taxied to an area far enough offshore to where rifles couldn't hit it, and certain people came out, got aboard, and they took off. Who were the certain people?
Now, that was witnessed by a credible individual,
right?
Who saw this. I've forgotten.
Right, and he had sent that information to my number one researcher. We call him Pizarro.
See how this works, ladies and gentlemen? It's secondhand and third-hand, but it comes from very good sources. Good as you're going to get.
The interesting thing, the great thing I think about shark hunters is, unlike all these other researchers who do all this research on their own, we have 8,200 members in 77 countries, minus those who have passed away, and we've got 50 what we call SEIG agents, S-E-I-G, which means Shark Hunters, Eagle Hunters Intelligence Group. Some of these guys, like Pizarro, is incredibly knowledgeable on the U-boats and on the Hitler thing, because he lives over there and he's been doing this forever. And so he gives us the leads, and then we follow them. We don't have to find the leads. The agents, the different agents, give us the leads, and then we go confirm them. It shortens up the stretch you have to do for research.
Unlike 95% of researchers, Harry does real research. His people do real research. Most research is done with a keyboard, a modem, and a mouse now. That's right. And
you won't find any footnotes in my books, because I don't borrow passages from somebody else's book. Some of these researchers, most of the researchers, they'll go to a library, they'll read a bunch of books on a particular topic, they'll write what they think the other authors meant, and they give proper credit, and that's fine.
Right.
I do mine face-to-face with people, talk to them, and and in some cases, we actually tape.
Look at the Holdeen story that you came up with. You've met the doctors. We presented that to the world here. Their book is available on Kindle. It's a huge book, and it's English. It's an English version.
Yep.
And you can see this potential daughter of Adolf Hitler, Holdeen Goebbels, tells her whole story with hand-drawn illustrations. Just an extraordinary thing when you think about the epoch and history that is recorded there.
Momentous stuff. But let me say just a minor correction. I didn't come up with it. The doctors did.
But you came up with the doctors.
Yeah.
you introduced the doctors to the world. And
that was another interesting thing. One of our agents who lives in the United States, we call Pocahontas, heard about these doctors somewhere in Brazil. Brazil's a huge country. Try to find a couple doctors using some foreign language, you know, which I don't understand Portuguese. I don't do Spanish or Portuguese, so I had no idea. And we knew the town and maybe. So I contacted the daughter of Erich Gimpel, who was a German agent dropped off in Maine in 1944 to sabotage the Manhattan Project. He was a member of Shark Hunters. He was a good friend of mine. When he passed away at age 100, his daughter took over the membership. She lives in Brazil. I contacted her, asked her if she could find these doctors for me, and she did, and we got in contact that way. So it went from Tinkers to Evers to Chance, more or less, you know.
Wow.
And if a person has to do this on his own without these contacts,
You couldn't do it.
They'd still be looking.
No, you couldn't do it. No way. Okay, a couple more. That's fascinating. A couple more footnotes. And again, all of you are able to buy the Kindle version of Holdeen's book in English. It's there.
Right.
So just look on. What's the name of it? It got a silly name. I forget.
Oh, boy, I can't remember.
All right.
It was originally released down there as KBK, which is short for Karl Bruno Kirchner. And but I had him rename it to some English thing. I don't know. But you can go to my website, sharkhunters.com. Go to previous tours, and then Brazil 2017. And at the very bottom, there's a picture of Holdeen with a hyperlink that takes you right to where you can order the book.
Great. All right.
Kind of complicated.
Well, again, I look at the two faces and the general bone structure is and the nose. Quite interesting.
Ears.
Oh,
look,
especially
the
ears. Yeah. It says Hitler was buried in an underground bunker, which is now an elegant hotel in the city of Asuncion. That's from Basti, apparently. In 1973, the entrance to the bunker was sealed, and 40 people came to say goodbye to Hitler. One of those who attended, Brazilian serviceman Fernando Nogueira de Araujo, then told a newspaper about the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all she wrote there.
Yeah, that's what Basti believes. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. The doctors believe that he was in a huge basilica in... not Asuncion, I can't remember, Encarnacion, big city. But Pizarro gave me a different location some years ago in a crypt with 12 marble columns topped by 12 large golden eagles. And the sarcophagus or casket or whatever in the center, and the blood flag is there, I'm told.
Ah, and this is somewhere underground in this other city.
Well, that what I just told you about is out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, all the better.
Yeah, and guarded by sons and grandsons of the SS officers who went with him there.
An extraordinary story. All right, let's go to look at our photos for tonight. And so that'll take you back to rents.com. Go to the guests section on the left-hand side. Look for Harry. He's the only guest tonight. And right underneath his name, explosive news about Hitler in Argentina and photos. And many of you already have this page loaded, so let's go down memory lane. There he is, Admiral Cooper, dressed up with, who's the young lady with you?
She's my girlfriend over there. That's even, now this is Austria, southern Austria.
Yeah.
This is the Ulrichsburg Memorial, where they get together and remember everyone who fell in battle, no matter what branch of service, no matter what flag flew over them. Anyone who died in combat is remembered here. Germans, Russians, Americans, and this is in Austria. You can tell by the majestic mountains in there.
Yeah.
So Hertha, she passes out the little pins. If you look on my left lapel there underneath all the ribbons, there's a little shield-shaped badge, and you pay €5 for that. That goes to help support the group that pulls this together. And she always makes sure that when I leave, I have a couple small personal bottles of schnapps with me. She's
that's cute.
A sweetheart.
Yeah.
I've known
very
her
nice.
For probably 10 years, and she always, she just gets so excited when she sees me. She's a nice lady.
Very nice. Okay, this is Harry's Southern Patrol of this year.
Right.
Which is, what, six, 8 months ago now? I don't remember something.
No, last week of September, first week of October.
Oh, that's right. We're into fall. That's when you go. Okay. Next picture, Heinz Pfister.
Heinz Pfister. He is a retired merchant seaman. He was an engineering officer, and he is president of the Navy League in that area. And we almost always wind up there on the Saturday before the memorial service. We have just a friendship get together with a whole bunch of people. And he's the guy in charge. And he doesn't speak a word of English. My German is pretty poor, but we get along anyhow. Mit Hand und Fuß, with hands and feet, we understand.
All right. And the next fellow looks like an old-timer.
He's an old-timer. He's, wait a minute. I got to shut off my emails because I keep getting stuff on how to cure toe fungus or get more hair. I got a hell of a head of hair. Yeah. Anyhow, number four, he was a veteran of the war on the German minesweepers.
Huh.
Nice old guy.
Uh-huh.
And the next photo five, what a beauty. And a nice-looking car, too.
That, too. This is a
joke. This is an old Volkswagen.
Well, it's not that old. I can tell by the lights and the bumper.
Yeah, I just noticed the lights in the bumper.
That's a 1970s VW.
Okay. The old bug.
Yeah. One of the greatest cars ever made. That and the Volvo 240 Ds. Those were amazing. The 240, that four-cylinder engine, the Volvo, great. They never should have stopped making that. Or the Volkswagen Beetle. There were a few cars that never should have been discontinued.
Yeah, and we got a copy of the table napkin where Hitler drew what he thought the Volkswagen should look like, and he handed it to Dr. Porsche. And he drew it as, it was Hitler's idea, and Dr. Porsche put it into effect. But the way Hitler drew it, it was a four-door.
Mm-hmm.
But it never made it as a four-door. The bug was always a two-door.
Okay.
I carpooled with a secretary once when I was back in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
The heater on that thing was absolutely worthless. All the way to work, we'd be scraping frost off the inside of the windows of this thing with the heater running full tilt.
I had VW Beetles.
Yeah.
You pull the lever up, and that was your heat. It came off an engine exchange.
Exactly.
Back, and
same as the Corvair.
Yeah.
I had a 64 Corvair, and every time you turn on the heat, all you could get was warm air that smelled like exhaust fumes.
Cute.
Yeah.
All right, number six.
Number six. That's just a nice shot to show how incredibly beautiful the mountains are in Austria. The cloud, the fog, whatever you want to call it, is just rolling up the mountain early in the morning.
The waterfall there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they got them all over the place because you got snow melt.
Yeah. Quite stunning.
Yeah.
Number eight.
Number
seven.
Seven.
Sorry.
That was a hotel we used in an area by the Mondsee, which means Moon Lake. This was a special area only for SS. During the war, it was for rest and recreation. It was also hospitals. It was also a little bit of a command post. So this was our hotel. Beautiful place. When we go on tour, and any of your listeners, they can join us next year, and you stay in places like this. Go to sharkhunters.com for information. Beautiful hotel. And number eight, that's looking off my balcony, and that's Moon Lake in the background, Mondsee. It's a very narrow valley, easily defendable in a land battle, which is what they had in mind when they first came there. Nobody had any idea of the incredible air force that the U.S. put together later on in the war. So you can't defend that that kind of air attack.
No.
Now, photo nine. If anybody has any imagination, let your mind go back and start singing, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." This is the cathedral where they filmed the wedding scene in The Sound of Music, where Baron von Trapp married Maria. They filmed it in here.
Hmm.
Beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we go to 10, the Mysteries of Wannsee. That's the Steinkreuz, the stone cross, which has some kind of significance. I'm not sure what it is, but it's just an incredibly beautiful area. Number 11 had been a command center at one time, and 12 also. 13 was a hospital for wounded SS men. We're talking Waffen-SS here.
So number 12 was a command center, you say?
Yeah, it was kind of like
that. What is that now? Little hotel, little inn?
Yeah, bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm. And then the big one, number 13, was a...
was a hospital.
Uh-huh.
And like I say, this is the Waffen-SS.
Yeah.
There were two different groups of SS. One was the Allgemeine, which everybody, for whatever reason, hates. The Waffen-SS were the toughest combat soldiers of the war. They were the Green Berets of their day, of the German military.
Right.
And any of the American guys that fought against them that I've talked to had nothing but the highest regard for these guys as combat soldiers because they just didn't know how to quit. Tough guys.
Yeah.
Then we left the Wannsee itself and went up into the mountains, number 14.
All right. Odd-looking little building that is.
Yeah. It's the oldest wooden church in Austria.
Huh.
And that guy who's filling the whole door, that's our Russian friend Evgeny. He and his father came over for our tour.
Yeah, that was a nice story.
Yeah, good people.
Trip of a lifetime for him.
Yeah, he got to meet some Waffen-SS soldiers, veterans. But he fills the whole door. The guy's about 6'4". His father's normal size. But this is the oldest wooden church in Austria. And there's a cute story that goes with this in a moment.
All right.
Look at number 15.
We have to take a break. Hang on, Harry.
Okay, take a break.
And we'll do that. You can rest up for a bit. We'll come right back and into the home stretch. More photos, more talk, more history for you when we continue. Continue this Friday night with Harry, and we've got more pictures. We're at, what number are we on here now?
15.
Number 15. All right, we're going inside. These look like, they're wooden, what are they?
Markers of some type for each one of the young men from this congregation who was killed in action and never, and his body never came home. That in 15 and in 16, you see all the black marks on the wall. That's where people put candles. I don't know how they keep from burning the place down, but, all these pictures of the Virgin Mary and Jesus Christ and all this, these are supposed to be godless Nazis, according to people like the Spitlickers.
Most evil people ever to walk the planet. Oh, no, I'm being facetious. That's what they say,
that.
Though. This is their game. And you have a point, because when you really study what this group does, it's nothing less than a grotesque criminality in terms of slander, defamation, libel, total extortion. I've heard so many stories. I can't prove them. I've just heard the stories over the years. Putting pressure on one organization, one business or another for either a donation or something else. I mean, the stories are endless about this group, and they've got millions and 20, 30 million bucks They have as much money as they need to carry on the operations.
They bring in 50 a year, 50 million a year.
Yeah.
And they've got hundreds of millions in the bank. However, I have an appointment with an attorney in 2 weeks because they've listed me as a Nazi. And
well, I've been one for years, too.
Yeah, and some guy nearby here in this little county sent a letter to the editor in one of the large newspaper in this county and lumped me in with the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, you've been damaged, clearly.
Yeah, so that's what we're going. And I'm on the editorial board of a new newspaper coming out here. Oh, and he's pushing me to go sue somebody over this, sue the guy that wrote the letter, sue the newspaper. Yeah. He says it'll make great ink for his newspaper.
I've got a total understanding of the outrage that you feel. Total.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been, there's crap about me that turns my stomach even to read. It's such.
I've known you for a lot of years. I haven't Googled you. I'm going to have to look and see what they say about you.
No, it's all done by a couple, three people, and
I noticed in the emails you and I sent back and forth earlier today, somebody said you're listed as a porn site. Good Lord.
Yeah, Rents.com is now a porn site, according to Kaspersky. Well, that's doing what they do best. All right, number 17.
This is a really interesting story. This is the altar in that little wooden church. And I posted that online in our hot mails, which I send out free to anybody who wants it. Every couple of days you get them.
Oh, yeah.
Send an email to sharkhunters@earthlink.net and say you want the hot mail. You want a free copy of the magazine. So anyhow, this went out on a hot mail, and I got an email back from our friend Michelle Crone. That's 17A. That's her by that altar in 1942, her first communion.
Oh, that's impossible.
Amazing.
That's truly amazing.
And she sent other pictures of her and her sister playing in the field, and also the little train station where she would get on the train to go to school when she was like 6 or 7. You could do that in those days.
Wow, yeah.
When I was a kid living in Chicago, I used to take 2 buses. I was 10 years old. Take 2 buses to the YMCA where I learned to swim, and then take 2 buses back home.
You'd transfer buses by yourself. Yeah, kids could do that then. Now they disappear forever.
That's right. Or if you don't disappear, the parents get arrested for child neglect.
Yeah.
But Michelle's husband, who passed away recently, I guess, was a combat soldier in the Waffen-SS, highly decorated, at the French Spanger for close combat in bronze, then in silver, and then finally in gold.
Wow.
He was in at least 50 hand-to-hand combats.
Wow. Well, like you said, they were extraordinary. They were outnumbered something like 10 to 1 on the Eastern Front. Oh, yeah.
But they never quit.
No.
So here, next one, 18. This is a close-up of one of those little paddles. Guy named Schutze. Look where I had the scribbly yellow arrow and then the blue arrow. The yellow arrow with the image with kind of like the hands up, which it isn't. But anyhow, that's the old runic symbol, means he's born. Mm-hmm. He has come up from the ground. The blue one with our limbs pointed down means he has returned to the ground, and that was when he was killed. So he was born on 30 July 1915. He was killed in action 20 of May 1943 by the Dnieper River. History on the walls of the church.
27 years old.
Yeah.
All right. Number 19.
That is the layout of a bunker complex that we went into. So this is anybody can come with us and go into these bunkers and go and see these old churches and do all the things you're seeing right here. Anybody can join us. Information is all there. We haven't posted it for next year's tours yet because we're still putting the final touches on them. But just send an email to sharkhunters@earthlink.net, and we'll
Put you on the list details. And keep you posted.
You betcha.
Yeah.
So on 20, all the prisoners, all the workers, they weren't all prisoners, they had ID cards, and these are just a couple of them. The top one, I can't hardly read that, Bunwell, he was a laborer. The middle one, a guy named Weiss, it says up there in the upper left corner.
Tech.
Tech. So he was a technician, and below that it says Juden. He was Jewish. And the one below that, Pyrotech, SVT, uh-huh. I don't know where he's from. Anyhow, his title down there was Maurer. That's a stonemason. So these were not all prisoners. These were highly skilled people. A lot were prisoners, but they also had highly skilled paid people.
And what is this board display about? Why are these people on the wall? I don't understand.
This is the factory. You look back to number 19.
Yeah.
That tunnel complex. That was a factory.
I see.
During the war.
Yeah.
They were getting bombed out of existence on the surface, so they built this huge factory underground. You look at 21, that's the entrance to this one particular
ship. Where are we, Harry?
Austria.
Okay, still in Austria.
Right, by, what the heck's, Abensee. Abens Lake, whatever Aben means.
Mm-hmm. So that's the entrance to this bunker complex that you see up in number 19. And that was a production factory.
It was. And the walls in there is a huge tunnel, probably 20 feet high and 20 feet across. And at the end of the tunnel in the flat wall, they had a giant L on the left for links, which means left, mm-hmm. and a giant R on the wall on the right, which means recht, which means right. And about every 20 feet down the long walls, they had numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hmm. So if you had something you had to deliver to the machine at mm-hmm. L43, mm-hmm. you'd go to the 43rd spot on the left wall.
So this thing was a humming production factory of some kind.
They had rail coming in there with raw materials. And here in this particular tunnel we were in, they were making brakes for trucks.
Okay. Now, let me go back up to number 20, and those cards with the names on there, those are people who perished during the war working in that place? Is that the deal?
We don't know whether they perished or not. They just were workers there.
Okay.
And these cards were probably some of the better-maintained cards.
All right.
So we don't know whether they perished or not.
Jumping up to number 23, the square items were mountings for...
22.
For 22, you got to... Oh, I get... Here comes the... I know what you're going to do. That's the gate to keep everybody out of there.
See,
but that's,
all right,
that's
is,
before they knew about Harry and shark hunters.
No, exactly. This was the end of the well-manufactured tunnel. Uh-huh. This was a grating, like a window, up around from tummy button up.
Yeah.
And so we opened the lock.
How did I know?
And of course, we said, "Who's going in there?" And guess who? The oldest one in the bunch jumps right on through there. That was me. And then we go to 23, and those were the square things you saw through the grating. These apparently were foundations for.
They were blocks for big machines.
Yeah, for machines or big engines to drive the generators, etc. Then in 24, you and I can kick around some ideas on that. There was no smoke, no fire, and nobody saw this. It only showed up on my photos. I've got several photos with
now,
this stuff in it.
You're going way back on this program. I was covering things like this 24 years ago. And what that is, in all likelihood, is what is commonly called ectoplasm.
Mm-hmm.
It's often considered to be a spiritual essence. It's a physical manifestation of a spirit, an entity, who may still be hanging around those tunnels. You don't see them visually. They do show up on on photographs, digital or the old-fashioned photos with negatives.
Nobody saw any of this with their naked eye. Nobody. Yeah. I didn't even know it was there until I got home and was processing the photos. And we got about half a dozen or so with this in it.
Well, that's what I would identify it as, ectoplasm.
Okay.
All right, number 25.
25. That's Georgi, Evgeny's father, going deep into this unfinished tunnel. Then in 26, we see Evgeny and his dad way back.
Oh, they are 25 feet tall, aren't they? Those tunnels.
These huge caverns, yeah. And
these were excavated, right?
They were in the process of being built into the square-shaped tunnels that we see out there in the factory, but then the war ended, so that was the end of this.
Right.
And number 27. Aha, a new tunnel that we've never been in before. Right near the... Excuse me, too many cough drops. Right
part of the same underground
complex.
Factory complex? Uh-huh.
Yep. But this one is not well maintained, and so you got to tromp through the jungle a bit. Not far, maybe 100 yards. And you go in, and there's number 28, there's Evgeny. But you see all those little dots, that's all water vapors in there because they're not, well maintained like the ones we visit. And 29, there's more of that smoke that nobody saw.
That's absolutely correct. You don't see it. It's some energetic property that is not easily acquirable by the naked eye.
Right.
And just look up ectoplasm if you want to see more. ECTO. PLASM. All right. And that's, I would suggest that is somebody still hanging around there?
Yeah, that's been suggested to me too by some of our members that have seen this before. If there was a ghost there, I wish they would have pointed us towards some of that hidden Nazi gold. We could have used some financing.
Yeah.
But how do you get it home?
Throw a little over this way too. Huh?
Yeah, right.
God.
Okay, then.
Number 30.
We go now to the magnificently beautiful little town of Berchtesgaden, which is in Germany, in Bavaria, just over the border from Austria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on the deck, the balcony of my hotel room. We all had the same kind of rooms, same kind of balcony, beautiful place. It's a German hotel run by Russians.
Huh.
There we go. So... But it's very nice. And 31, that's what you see off my balcony.
Wow.
You see that pink hotel just kind of lower in the center.
Right.
Look to the right of that big clump of trees.
Uh-huh.
That's growing on top of what was a hardened railroad bunker where Goering hid his train full of treasures, thinking he was going to be able to skip across the border to Austria and then escape at the end of the war. But
okay, so the right, you can see where a road appears to come right toward us, and it disappeared. So that there's a tunnel there. Have I not seen a picture of the actual entrance to that before?
Right, in some of my other photos,
Yeah.
And you're right, that road comes into the tunnel. That road used to be the railroad, because if you look directly above that, there's the rail yard.
You can see it.
Yeah. So, didn't work out for Goering. He had a problem.
Wow. Okay. Well, he got the last laugh, I guess.
Yeah, right. They did hang him anyhow, because the sentence said he had to be hanged, so even though he was dead.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I don't know if they hoisted him up, but they put a rope around his neck and took pictures of him with the rope around his neck.
You know what group ran all of that, that whole trial, Nuremberg?
I'm staying out of this discussion.
Well, you don't, it's my program. It's a certain group was involved. A certain group was, just read the history of it. I'll leave it at that. All right, next up.
They weren't really trials, because in a trial you have a possibility of innocence. It was a tribunal.
That's
right. It was for show. Then, number 32.
That's an amazing sight.
Yeah, it is indeed. If you drink Red Bull, that's stupid me. I thought Red Bull was an American company. It's not. It's an Austrian company.
That's amazing.
So we went just across the border from Berchtesgaden to Salzburg, mm-hmm. where Red Bull has this beautiful modern hangar, and they've got a ton of old warbirds. They've got a P-38, but it was out of the hangar at this time for maintenance. They've also got a Navy Corsair. They got a whole bunch of Soviet jet fighters in there, mm-hmm. and race cars, because they sponsor race cars. You're looking number 33. There's a race car, an Indy car, or a Formula One. They got all sorts of, they got NASCAR cars in there,
right.
and a beautiful place. And we go there every year now. And they got great hot fudge sundaes. Actually, they got Heiße Liebe, which is three scoops of vanilla ice cream with hot raspberry sauce on it and whipped cream.
Wow. Wow.
That's why I...
Yeah.
I leave my insulin... Not insulin. I don't do insulin, but my... whatever the heck. I got too much blood sugar. Diabetes. I leave all that stuff at home.
I would.
It would just upset me. Okay, so number 34, we're in Salzburg still. This is the castle at Salzburg. Massive thing. Huge. It goes for, like, I'd say at least a quarter mile, if not more. Hmm. And each one of the battlements, each one of the bastions has its own name. Mm-hmm. And back during the day, mm-hmm. they had their own little village there. The soldiers, their families, all lived in this one battlement. Each one lived in their own little battlements. It was destroyed in the 30 Years' War and never really rebuilt. But parts of it have. Like number 35, for instance, mm-hmm. that's us eating on what was a battlement about a quarter mile in the air. Mm-hmm. And that's some of our group there, the guy with the white beard looking right at us. That's Victor Hirschman. And the lady next to him with the red hair, she's Canadian, Carol Ann. And with their backs to us, on the left is Evgeny, and on the right is his father, Georgi.
Look at that tree growing up there.
Yeah, it's way up in the air.
Yeah. Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Stunning.
And you look at number 36.
When you go on tour with Harry, you eat very well. Don't ever forget that.
That's true. We do eat well, and in Bavaria and in Austria, they got incredible ice cream. They got fantastic pastries, melt in your mouth, and that's what I eat all day, is pastries and ice cream.
You got to fuel up on something.
Yeah, my poor VA doctor can't figure out why my diabetes won't go away. I don't know. What does he know?
I don't trust him. I don't trust him. Did you push the... accelerator with your right foot today and on 350 horses?
Yeah, I did. I just got my Corvette back from the shop. I needed a new master cylinder. It's a beautiful old car, 1981 C3. And so I got to go out and chase birds off the highway.
Gotcha. All right, number 36.
That's Georgi, looking out over the valley. It just shows you what a magnificent scenery you have over there in Austria. This is the Austrian Alps.
It's truly a jewel. Yeah,
yeah, it's fantastic. Drop down to 37, and we're still way, way up in the air. We're on the battlements of the castle.
Huh.
And 38 as well.
Let's jump ahead. We're out of time almost.
Uh-oh.
Went ahead up to 43 and then 44. Those are the others are just interior shots of the...
of a bunker in Berchtesgaden.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 43...
Any particular bunker, by the way?
Hmm?
Any particular bunker?
Yeah, the one under the Hotel Zum Turken, which had been the switchboard for all the places up on the mountain. Hitler's home, Goering's home, etc. And these tunnels went to underneath all their homes, except the government has seen fit to wall them off to where you can't get there.
Well, all right. Well, if you go and look, by the way, Hitler's home was quite a well-photographed place. If you go to the other link, Eva Braun's photo album, you'll see a lot of her pictures of, during the war years. Yeah. You go take a You will look at those pictures later, Harry. They're really some very interesting pictures.
Yeah, we'll do.
They were her personal pictures. Number 43.
Yeah. Number 43. We talked about Otto Wermuth, the skipper of U-530. That's him looking up off to the over his right shoulder. He's got the badges on his uniform, the close combat badge, etc. He is the guy who told us that he left on a combat patrol with torpedoes to go to Halifax and got rerouted to New York and fired at some ships. And he then tried to get to Chile, but instead surrendered in Argentina. He had no passengers on board, not Hitler, not nobody. And it was a combat patrol.
Yeah, look at that guy. Look, he looks like a leader. Look at him. He looks like a captain.
Yeah, he was just a senior lieutenant.
And that's they're surrendering in Argentina there.
Right, right. This is July of 45 when they surrendered in Argentina.
Look, he's got his cross on.
Yep.
What proud people they were. You can't take that away from them.
And they were tough combat people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, the last one
below that
is an
FBI. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to...
No, you're good. FBI, okay. Another redacted something.
Right, that's just one of the files. Like I say, we've got dozens and dozens of these files. This is just up as a, and it's an exemplar. And one of my agents has told me that I should put up all the files on our website for a couple of reasons, and not the least of which is if I get into trouble with somebody saying we're a bunch of Nazi lovers, I can show all these files that me and the FBI. You know, we're going in the same direction, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say, except we're going to keep doing what we do. You've been doing it for a long time. I have, too, but on a parallel track, just for myself, doing my own research into history and what really happened in World War II. And I found out things that I never could have found out unless I made the effort. And since I've met you, Don Angel's document alone is priceless.
Yeah.
For history's sake. Absolutely incredible.
I'm still in contact with his sons.
Yeah.
And if I ever get over to Spain, I'll visit with them.
Maybe they can come visit you if you go up on your next patrol. And
well, that's a thought.
Yeah. And the book is Hitler in Argentina for Don Angel's entire monograph on what really happened. You can read
it.
Understand that this man was there. It's his final testament. He wanted it known, and he wrote it out. Thank you, sir. Go get some rest, and you did just great tonight. Really good. I appreciate it. Everybody does, and you do such important work.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. And sharkhunters at earthlink.net, your listeners can go to that, and we'll send them a free issue of the magazine.
Very good. Thanks, Harry. You take care.
Have a great evening.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. Thanks for being here on this Friday night. Have a wonderful weekend. And you know where you can find us. We'll be back on Monday.